And now, Don Blackwell.
We thank you for tuning in to the program today. In today's lesson, we're going to be continuing a study that we began last week, studying about the imagination of man. In last week's program, we noticed that it is possible for a man to sin against God merely by what is going on in his mind. I can think evil thoughts and have evil motives and think on things that can cause me to lose my soul. And we notice two things that are very dangerous about the imagination of man. One is that the imagination is the place where a lot of sins begin. The seed of thought in the imagination of man is what ultimately results in sinful actions many times. A man will have an evil thought, and he will feed on it, and he will think on it, until finally he acts it out in his life. But secondly, the imagination is so very dangerous because of the secrecy of it. No one else knows what's going on in my mind. If I am thinking evil thoughts or meditating on evil things, no one else knows that. It's between me and the Lord. Young people, you need to control your thoughts. Older people, you need to control your thoughts, because your imagination can lead you down a road that goes deeper and deeper into sin and ruin. There was an infamous killer in the United States some years ago by the name of Ted Bundy. He said that the viewing of pornography led him down the road that he took, where he killed a number of women. You see, he started with this evil in his mind, and he fed upon it, and it grew. Last week we talked about the prodigal son. I want you to consider him again. If the prodigal son had imagined the hogs and the hunger and the humiliation, he probably would not have taken the money and gone off into a far country. But you see, that's not the way Satan works. Satan wants you to think about sin in the grandest light. He gives you in your imagination that seed that will paint the most fantastic image. Think about it. When you drive down the road and you see signs and billboards advertising some product, what do you see? You see a handsome man with a beautiful lady on both arms and alcohol in his hand. What do these advertisers want you to imagine? They want you to see something that is pleasant, that is enjoyable. They want you to have the grandest image in your imagination. You know, something that might be helpful to us, to help guard us against sin, is this. When you are faced with a temptation, rather than imagining the pleasures of it, use your imagination to think about the possible consequences instead. Use your imagination to imagine getting caught engaged in that sin. Use your imagination to imagine paying the penalty for that sin. Imagine the hurt feelings and the shame involved in it. Imagine the guilt of sin. Imagine sinning against God who loved you and gave Himself for you, gave His Son for you. Imagine the Lord coming again and finding you engaged in this sin. Imagine the Lord returning on a Sunday night when you're at home forsaking the assembly so that you could be with your family or because you were too tired or too lazy. And then use your imagination to consider the greatest pleasure that a man can have, and that is living right in the sight of the Lord, being prepared for eternity. Imagine in your mind what it's like to not have to hide sin. Imagine having no fear of getting caught. Imagine living in good conscience before God and being confident about your salvation, because it will help you. It really will. Consider the prodigal son again. Think about how he used his imagination for good to help him get himself back on the right track. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, we're told about the prodigal son, but when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare?" You see, he thought about what it was like at home and how it could be for him again. Friends, a very important point I want to make is this. A person will never do right until he first thinks right. When the prodigal son began to use his imagination to think about home and what it was like there, he began to change his thinking, and then he began to change his actions. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence." The heart, of course, is the Bible mind. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Think about David as an example of the danger of an uncontrolled imagination. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, it was evening, and apparently King David could not sleep. And so he got out of his bed, and he went for a walk on the roof of his palace. And he looked down from the roof, and he saw a beautiful woman bathing. But instead of turning and walking away, David let his imagination paint a picture for him of his committing adultery with her. And friends, you know, this is how adultery oftentimes begins. It starts in the mind. A man or a woman imagines being with this other person. And it seems so pleasant. It seems like such a great thing. Pretty soon they began to imagine ways to make it happen. But you know, even before the actual act is committed, he has already sinned in his mind. Listen to the words of our Lord in Matthew 5 and 28. Jesus said, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." In his mind, he has already sinned. No, he hasn't committed the act yet. But remember Psalm 94 and verse 11. "The Lord knows the thoughts of the heart, the thoughts of man," it says. And again, the imagination is so dangerous because it is secret. We would not think these things if we thought other people knew them. Well, after David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he wanted to hide his sin. And so he imagined a way to do that. He tried to think this thing through and imagine a way to bring Uriah home, to make him think that the child that she was pregnant with was his. Of course, that did not work. And so he painted a picture in his mind of Uriah being in the front lines of a battle and being killed. And being the king, he ordered it to be done. But David's imagination did not paint a picture of the consequences of his sin. He never dreamed of that little baby dying. He never dreamed of the fact that punishment and turmoil would come to his family for generations to come because of his sin. He didn't contemplate his own son raping his daughter. He never thought of one of his sons murdering another one. He didn't imagine that same son rebelling against his father and trying to take over the throne and being killed in battle. If he had allowed his imagination to see these things, do you think he would have committed that sin to begin with? I don't believe he would have. In Psalm 51 and 10, we see his repentance when he writes, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me." In other words, David is saying, "Clean out my heart and help my imagination to paint the right kind of pictures and not those that will lead me to ruin." Now, someone may say, "We're talking about the bad use of the imagination. What about the good use?" And there are good uses for the imagination. I want us to consider that for a moment. The third point that we want to notice is that to practice the golden rule, I've got to use my imagination in a good way. Here it is, Matthew 7 and 12. "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." How can I treat you as I want to be treated unless I first imagine how I want to be treated? I've got to stop and I've got to paint a picture in my mind of how I want to be treated, and then I've got to put that into practice. Now contrast that with 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer." Now this is in contrast to treating others how I want to be treated. "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Here's a brother who has done you wrong in some way. And you know that as a Christian, as a person trying to serve the Lord, you can't go and hit him. You can't go and treat him in an ungodly manner because of what he's done to you. That would be wrong. But here's the point of the verse. You can't do that in your mind either. You see, there's a danger that even though I would not do these things, I might be wishing that some of these bad things would happen. And the Lord says, when I feel that way about a brother in my heart, that I have no eternal life abiding in me. Matthew 5 and 44 says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who despitefully use and persecute you." Do you see the difference? If I begin to see in my imagination bad things coming to my enemies, I need to get down on my knees and pray, "Lord, help me to change the scene and to paint a different picture." Friend, how have you been using your imagination? Have you been using your mind to envision yourself serving the Lord? Have you been using your mind to imagine yourself conducting Bible studies and teaching others and being a proper example and standing for right? Do you imagine yourself studying your Bible and praying more, being more diligent in your attendance, giving more to the Lord? Do you ever imagine yourself in heaven? Or how about this? Do you imagine the day of judgment? We need to do that. Friends, these things are so important because what goes on in our minds influences what takes place in our lives. Proverbs 23 and 7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Friend, how have you been using your imagination? Has it been a drawing board for evil? Proverbs 6:18 says, "The Lord hates a heart that devises wicked imaginations." Or has your imagination been a place to plan how you can make the Lord's church a better place and more faithfully serve Him?